your journey isn't everybody's journey.
No.
But you just have to do what's right for you. Hello, and welcome to Pissy But Pretty, a show about hindsight, hope, tangents, and cuss words. We are your hosts, Party Tricks Turned Semi-Responsible Women. I am your host, Heather Cairns.
And Emily Baggin. Hi.
Hi, we're back. Pissy But Pretty.
Pissy But Pretty.
Episode 3.
Trois. If
we
you're
do
fancy.
Not speak of Trace. Yeah. If you're still here and listening to us, thank you.
Aww.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. You haven't left us yet.
I mean, we're entertaining. We are kind of entertaining, but sometimes not really so much. We're delving into some deep shit.
Yeah.
So
and this one's going to be deep.
This one's going to be a doozy.
So get your Kleenex out.
Oh, God. No,
get
we're not
your.
Gonna do that.
Xanax ready. You might need it after
this.
I'm not
allowed. I just have to like count down from 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Breathing exercises.
Breathing exercises and focus.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Whatever.
So diving in again, childhood and religion, because it was something, at least from my experience, that was traumatic. We went from free loving, weed smoking hippies to Jehovah's Witnesses, very strict, very
overnight
sheltered. We didn't have social lives. We couldn't have friends. I couldn't participate in anything in school. I was out in the hallway when we would do like fun stuff for like Christmas and Halloween and whatever in the hallway, like a naughty kid. Yeah, it was awful.
I was in the hallway for completely different reasons.
You were so naughty.
I was.
You were so naughty. You probably passed notes with 30 words on them.
Also, I did get a detention once. Remember those things that went one, two, three? I made a not so nice one. I went to St. Paul's Lutheran School.
Yeah.
4K to 8th grade.
It explains a lot.
When you flipped it out, it would say, like, your mom's a cow. I remember being one.
Oh, I thought we were getting real dirty. Your mom, but yeah,
for St. Paul's in like second grade, that was probably
yeah.
So yeah, I got raised Lutheran,
right?
And 4K to 8th grade, there was a small gap in there where my family, we moved out to Washington State, came back 2.5 years later, so. Part of the time Part of the time I was in a public school.
Yeah.
Out in Washington. But then for the most part here, we were in St. Paul's Lutheran. And I mean, my religious experience from a kid isn't quite as traumatic as yours. There's some things that definitely I don't agree with and definitely couldn't go on now.
Yeah.
Like being spanked by my first grade teacher because I ran in the classroom.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never got to experience such wonderful things.
Yeah. I could tell you exactly what the principal's office smelled like.
Ew.
Booze and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a drinker back then. And everybody smoked in there,
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Oh,
so
yeah.
So weird.
That's awesome.
Gross. And...
Speaking of cigarettes.
And, like, I remember being sent there because my earrings were bigger than a quarter.
Well, the bigger the hoop, the bigger the hoe.
Now I could fit my feet through them. So, yeah, what have you taught me now?
Slut.
Yeah, a little bit. Not, well, maybe in those days. But I just remember, like, so we had... religion class.
Ew.
We had catechism.
I don't even know what
we
that
had
is.
Confirmation.
Ugh.
We had chapel every Wednesday and then church
Charlie
every
chapel? Yep.
That's nope. Chaplain.
Oh. Yep.
Then we had church every Sunday and we would have to fill out these sermon reports so that they would believe that we actually went and paid attention. We would have to be the little not altar boys, but we were candle lighters.
Oh.
But one thing, and I think this was the culture back then, and being where we were, everything looked perfect.
Mm-hmm.
People still to this day talk about how my family would walk into church. There would be five of us kids.
Yep.
We were all dressed to the nines.
Of course.
Sat there perfectly. If we even laughed or giggled or made any sound, we got the look.
Yep.
And being raised where you have to be perfect all the time really Fs with your head.
It does. That has bled through your entire life.
Do you see it?
It has metastasized. Like I said. It's carried through. And you really? Can tell with you and your sisters, you can tell there was definitely sort of like the roles mm-hmm. that you guys played. Mm-hmm. As I get to know your family better, there was roles that you guys had and that you guys played. And you perpetually try harder and harder and harder. And you just got to look a certain way, be a certain way. And yeah, I can see how that childhood sort of thing that yeah. you just had to be perfect has yeah. like brought you through.
Oh, I kind of hate that it's sticking with me because that was one of the things mm-hmm. I hated the most because right. I was the black egg, black sheep, bad egg. And so I was, you know, couldn't be because everyone else was so perfect. Mm. So yeah, being brought up when you have to act a certain way, say a certain thing. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is now I feel like with my son, he's in public school.
Yeah.
We rarely go to church. Mm. He knows of God. For me, raising a human being to be a decent human being, to be a kind yes. human being, that is more important to me than yeah. if you can memorize a couple Bible verses.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. When it's so shoved down your throat, I'm telling you, when I moved back in with my parents, mm. when I was 21, it did not matter how mm. hungover I was on a Sunday, what time I got home.
Yeah.
I was up and I was going to church.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Hungover, stinking.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm sure booze was yeah. oozing out of my pores.
Oh, for sure.
Cigarette smoke and fog machine smoke mm. was still in my hair. It
smelled like Newports and bad decisions.
Bad decisions.
Is that semen or is that beer? Like, what is that? Mm, I don't know.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was something that I don't want. If my son tells me, hey, Mom, I want to go to church, or I want to try Sunday school, or I want to get confirmed. Absolutely, 100%,
sure.
I would do that for
sure.
you.
I don't know how I would feel. I was thinking about that if, like, my kids came to me and they were like, yeah, they're adults. The Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on my door. Now, my son would listen and be respectful. My daughter, not in a million
She'd be
years.
Like, huh, no. bye.
No.
Yeah.
But if he was like, I heard something that I like and I really think I want to be a Jehovah's Witness, I think I would freak out because my experience with it was ugly and it was dark. The people that I was introduced to and were around me were awful.
Right.
And the people that came into my family's lives and my sister, you know, getting married to a really awful person and the grooming that was going on. And it was creepy. It was awful. It was awful. I don't know if that is still how the Jehovah's Witnesses are.
Yours could be – yours was such a bad experience. Like mine, it had its issues. It had plenty of great times as well.
Sure.
I know most of my class of like 12, 15 people. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't send their kids to private school. They don't send their kids to a parochial school.
I'm not a fan.
But what you have gone through in your religion, I think I would do everything in my power to keep my kid out of. But from what we've been hearing recently, it sounds like the Jehovah's Witnesses are changing their ways a little. For you, I think it's a little too late.
Right.
And that's another topic that we'll get on. Like, I want nothing more for you than to have a relationship with the family you don't speak to anymore. But I know that there's a lot of hurt there that you would have to – there would have to be a lot of accountability
right.
on their side.
Which my mom, as a person, doesn't do.
Right.
People in my family just don't do. I don't know that they would look at me and be like, damn, yeah, we know what happened. We're very aware of what happened. And that's
you told me, though, that's when I was explaining to you a situation that was happening with my family just with dealing with my sick mom.
Yeah.
And I said, my family has a really good way of being defensive rather than looking within, taking accountability and acknowledging it.
Mm-hmm.
But you said it's human nature to be defensive first.
It is.
You're right.
And it is.
I was like that for a long time. Mm-hmm. And until I started getting old and saggy, that's when I'm like noticing things about myself that I don't like. And your journey isn't everybody's journey.
No.
But you just have to do what's right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And like with Parker, if he wants to one day say that he wants to learn more about it, when we do get a chance to eat dinner as a family, we say a prayer before we eat. He's 14 years old, and yes, we still tuck my son in at night because it's my only time anymore. But we say
do that until my kid's 40.
I mean,
his wife is going to be like, bitch, get out. And I'm going to be like, excuse me.
I birthed him.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
Thank you.
Sure.
But yeah, we say our goodnight prayers every night too. And, you know, we pray for, if my son had his way, he would pray for literally, you know how he is.
Yeah.
He's so empathetic that every person he knows that. So we just keep it to the bare minimum.
Sure.
And like pray for my mom and, you know, things like that. But I want him to know who God is, but it's your choice how you want that to impact your life.
Correct.
I wasn't given that choice. And in fact, my husband, when he was born, little fun fact, his mom was 17 and his dad was 55.
Yep.
So weird, yes, but as the way he puts it, that's how they did things in North Dakota back then. I don't think that's true, but we'll roll with it.
Okay.
So, yeah. But they took him to be baptized in the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church didn't agree with their relationship, didn't agree with him being born.
Right.
I'm sure that they weren't wanting him to be aborted. I don't think that was
Jesus. Back.
Well, it didn't agree with him being born.
That got
it sounded
dark.
Bad.
That got fucking dark.
But it sounded bad the way I said it.
You did.
I'm glad he's here.
God bless.
But yeah. So, but they would not baptize him.
Mm.
So it wasn't until he chose, before we got married, our pastor at the time was a very kind woman, very close friend of the family, very understanding woman. Yeah, lady. And a little small, when we left the big St. Paul's church, which my parents did pull the three younger kids out of St. Paul's because there was a lot of politics, a lot of
money
involved. Yeah. So we went to this little church and he went to her and he wanted to be baptized. So he got baptized before we got married. And he was 36, but that was his decision to make.
I didn't know that. I got baptized at 17.
Really?
That is something I can say with the Jehovah's Witness religion. They want you to make that conscious effort and decision. So I was 17.
Yeah, I had no choice in the matter. I mean,
I
also baptized Parker when he was younger.
My kids are not baptized.
Yeah, Parker was baptized.
Someday I'll get good with God. I think that's probably one of the more ridiculous things I say, and I understand how ridiculous it sounds. I will get good with God. It has been something that has been a journey for me because a lot of the terrible, terrible, terrible things that happened to me were within that religion and because of the imperfect people within that religion.
Yes.
So I had to make that disconnect from like, okay, this is God. This is not what he is okay with.
Yes, I feel like too, there's no one perfect religion, right? And the religions that think they are, you don't know the man himself. I think we'll get up to heaven one day and he'll say, I like this from your religion. I like this from your religion. I like this from your religion. Okay. Now, with that being said, the scientific part of me is like, maybe
You're
this
scientific?
Isn't just like part
You're
of my
a nerd.
Brain. Like maybe, But maybe like,
yeah,
if there is no God, I'm still cool with it. Like,
I'm fine with that.
For me, yeah. Like when people tell me they don't believe in God, like nothing happens to you when you're dead, that might be the case. For me, I want to believe that I'm going to see my loved ones again one day.
Sure.
That's what makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And that if not, I'm dead, so I won't know the difference.
It's something that's very ingrained within the Jehovah's Witness religion that good people are going to be resurrected. So fast forward to my dad dying mm-hmm. of cancer, and I was figuring out my life.
How old were you?
Early 20s. Mm-hmm. I was like 23 when he died, I want to say. 22, 23. I can't remember. I did the math once. Whatever. Yeah. I got married when I was a Jehovah's Witness. You get married young. You're not allowed to have sex before you get married. So everybody gets married super young just to get laid, which is so stupid. So stupid because we all fucked before we got married. Let's be real. Come on. So whatever. So I got married. You know, I hated it. I hated him. I hated that dynamic. I hated not knowing anything that was going on because I was the woman and he was the man of the household and he sucked at it. He wasn't ready either. So, you know,
why him? And then were you guys, like, it wasn't chosen for you.
No,
right?
No, no. It's we don't do arranged marriage. But you're supposed to marry another Jehovah's Witness for right. sure. For sure. So, I mean, when I was younger, you know, my sister was 5 years older. She got married at 20, and I thought he was the greatest thing. He was, you know, he became very close
Your
to our family, my ex-brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was 15. I didn't want to be home, and they were within walking distance, so I hung out with them all the time. You know, that was when my sister and I were very close. She was early 20s. I was, you know, teenager. But turns out he was a pervert that was grooming me. He gave me my first drink when I was 15 years old and started.
So you probably thought he was the coolest thing ever.
Coolest thing ever. Oh, yeah. We partied like crazy. He took me to bars and my sister didn't know.
Did she really not know?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. She does now,
and
obviously.
Right. Did your parents not know?
Mm-mm. Because I would spend the night there. I was never home. Yeah. I was always with my sister and, you know, who is now her ex-husband. So he was a filthy person anyway, but it just so happened that he was a Jehovah's Witness. So even, and he was a man. So he was very looked up to. He kept progressing within the church and I knew he was doing and saying and introducing me to things that he shouldn't be doing. So it fucked me up. It fucked me up. And then, I don't remember where I was going with that.
Do you – so, like, he was grooming you.
Yeah.
For
– he – I don't know if there was a crush, if he was just kind of a pedophile maybe, which is kind of what I call him. Grooming for that. He said a lot of things like he married the wrong sister and things like that, which
And you were 15.
And I was 15. Yeah, I was 15. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you give somebody alcohol and they're a completely different person. And he sort of taught me how to take shots, which up until I was 35 years old, that's how I took shots because that was how I was taught how to take shots and not gag and be great, whatever. So that was sort of my experience with the religion. Nobody knew. He lied to my family and, you know,
so
about what was happening and what he was saying and doing to me. It was all a lie. And I believed him. He told me that they knew what he was doing. They forgave him and they never wanted to talk about it again. And I lived with that until I was married.
Do you want to say what he was doing or no?
It only happened once. It was brief because it broke me. It broke my brain. It was kind of a touching, you know, sort of experience. Started with a massage this one time and sort of in the clothes and whatever. And he's a fucking adult. And it broke me. It broke my brain.
And
So
he told you that your parents, your sister already knew and they didn't want to talk about it again?
Correct.
And so you thought that
changed. Mm. And he saw that. We went to church 3 times a week. We didn't call it church. We went to the Kingdom Hall 3 times a week for meetings is what they called it, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Sundays. And it was obvious that there was a problem, But that's Emily being Emily. So, yeah, he lied to me, told me that they all knew what he did and they forgave him. They don't want to talk about it. They all know that I'm promiscuous and wear low-cut shirts sometimes in front of him, and I tempted him.
And how dare you? It's all your fault.
Correct. Correct. Mm. So my experience with religion, yet extreme, is mine. And it's one of those things that's when I say I need to get square with God, it's...
Well, because you're angry.
Oh, for sure.
You're angry about how it turned your life upside down in so many ways.
And I was silenced. I never talked about it. I didn't want to affect him or my sister or our family or our life. I thought they all knew.
Right.
And I thought they were okay with it. And I was like, oof. So I just
have
to be quiet.
Well, that's going to do a lot for your psyche.
So I kept drinking.
Yeah.
I kept fucking drinking. I was drinking in school. I was drinking before and after school. I was drinking at the meetings. I was drinking everywhere I could drink. And then I met a guy, a Jehovah's Witness, that was as much of an alcoholic as I was. So we got married.
Sounds like a perfect combination.
Yeah. It's outstanding.
All right.
That's that.
That's our religious experience in a nutshell.
We will
probably discuss more of it in our next coming episodes.
Of course, because you come out on the other side. And that is the point of this.
That is the point.
Not what happened back then. We just have to kind of explain where we came from.
Yep. And how we have chosen to cope.
There's some shit.
And we chose to cope in many different ways.
Drugs and alcohol and sex.
And food for me.
Food.
Yeah. So we will get into all of that. And so stay tuned and you can hear all about how we dealt with it all and how I ruined my face many, many times.
I ruined my vagina. No, I didn't. It's fantastic. No. Yeah.
All right.
We'll be back.
We'll catch you on the flip side.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for letting us tickle your ear hole and not turning us off after the first 30 seconds. Don't forget to subscribe and join our email list to get in on the action.